Believe it or not, I've been listening, maybe with even more intensity during these dark days of the Lenten season, listening closely to the messages of Jared and Laura, and hoping for glimmers of light that will bring us through the pain of this season. They haven't let us down. Both have reminded us that we are the beloved of God, and that as we hold to that truth, we can use this season to say yes, yes to those things that make us feel alive and bring us joy. Our scripture reading today is one that we can certainly take joy in. God has marked his people and claimed them once again as his own. Sin, said Jared, is the refusal to keep growing. So when he asked me to give today's message, I looked at it as an opportunity for growth. Let me tell you that what has transpired in the weeks since I accepted that invitation, I wouldn't necessarily classify as growth. It's looked a little more like stark, naked terror, punctuated with frequent moments of wondering why on earth I consented to do this. So bear with me. As I looked at the scripture, I thought that it would probably be helpful to review a little bit about Jeremiah's life and times. Israel was split into two kingdoms, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. Judean society was deteriorating economically, politically, spiritually. Does that sound the least bit familiar to anyone? The central theme of Jeremiah's message was to repent, to turn to God, or to be punished. Well, the response of the people to this message looked a whole lot like the people's unfaithful response to Moses and the Ten Commandments. Sadly, Jeremiah lived to see many of his prophecies realized. Jerusalem fell. The people were taken into captivity by Babylon. Despite this, Jeremiah had hope in God's mercy and in his faithfulness to his covenantal people. Armed with this hope, he delivered God's message to the people. I will put my law within them and write it on their hearts. Well, because my frame of reference is my nursing background, I find that my concept of heart differs somewhat from the concepts of the heart language that we all find so familiar. What I see is a four-chambered organ, amazing in its complexity and its steady function. With no conscious thought, this pump beats day and night and delivers life-sustaining oxygen to all the other marvelous components of these bodies that we inhabit. Now, those of us who attend the Shiny Studio yoga classes are encouraged to allow our heart to swell, to fill the heart space. Okay, you have to understand that that directive freaks this nurse out, because in my world, enlargement of the heart is not a desirable event. Once I can get past that moment of freaking out, I hear a beautiful message. That message is to allow our heart to do what only the heart can do, to love unconditionally, to forgive, to experience grace, to experience gratitude, and to send that out to all those that we encounter. Sending out love, forgiveness, grace, and gratitude are every bit as life-sustaining to us as oxygen is to the cells of our bodies. This new covenant found in the Jeremiah text focuses on the heart. Sometimes I think the wiring in my brain has a lot of short circuits, because after I've I've shared with you my initial response to heart. My brain started going down this road filled with flashing neon signs, heartache, heartbreak, heart of my heart, heart sick, heart of the matter. Whoa. When I got to heart of the matter, my brain made a hard right turn. And I started wondering what was at the heart of the Bible. Lo and behold, the very day that I had that thought, up on my Facebook feed popped a bit of Bible trivia. Do you all know what the exact center, the heart of the Bible is? Well, it's Psalm 118, verse 8. There are 594 chapters that precede that, and 594 chapters that follow it. Verse 8 is at the exact center, or the heart of the Bible. Now, what does this verse that's at the exact center or the heart of the Bible tell us? Psalm 18, verse 8, from the Amplified Bible. It is better to trust and take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So there we have it, people. At the very heart of our Bible, the most important relationship, the one that we can trust to defend us, is our relationship with God. Nothing more is more important to our lives than that heart of the Bible. To imagine that God would choose to write his law upon our hearts makes perfect sense. His law is ultimately life-sustaining. To know God from the center of our being and to be instructed in his ways plants in our heart that desire to please our Creator. God has gifted us with direction now from within. Is God surprised that we fail to always follow that internal direction? I think not. The good news is that in spite of that, God continues to claim us as his own. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Could it be that this new covenant is, in essence, at the heart of growth? Is it that this new internal covenant could be as simple as being attuned to what God is already doing in us? Is it possible that growth is more akin to releasing ourselves into the current of the river rather than fighting up the cliffs of a mountainside or hacking our way through the jungle? Yet the river may present a few rapids and a few log jams, but that river continues to carry us along. At the heart of this new covenant is belonging. God is in relationship with each one of us. He is ours, and we are his. Even though not one of us is worthy, God tells us that he will forgive and remember our sin no more. Thanks be to God. You get the idea. These hearts of ours are credited with so much. The ability to love, to experience pain, to extend grace. These hearts that have been marked by God, we are his and he is ours. And so, friends, as we walk through these final few weeks of the Lenten season, making missteps, be aware that we are claimed by God, that even in our misstepping, we walk toward the one whose steps are steady and sure. We are his own, his beloved, and we are forgiven.